It's good to be with y'all here at Brentwood Hills. I think about you often and with warm feelings. As of this weekend, y'all are my favorite church in the city of Fort Worth. Wonder what he's going to say next weekend. Well, come to old school and I'll tell you then. But I love y'all very much. Appreciate the opportunity to come and be with you. I'm glad, Brother Trevor decided that his wife is right and needs to realize that more often, that he's more of a help for her here than he would have been at home, because he's really probably not that much help anyways. But the Lord blessed you to preach to us tonight, and I'm thankful for that. We have been blessed. Now, I don't want to make Brother Ward fret more about the weather, so I'll get right to the subject. I want to turn into the first chapter of the Gospel according to John, beginning in the 35th verse of John chapter 1. And again the next day, after John stood and two of his disciples, and looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And the two disciples heard him speak, and they followed Jesus. Then Jesus turned and saw them following, and saith unto them, "What seek ye?" They said unto him, "Rabbi," which is to say, being interpreted, "Master, where dwellest thou?" He saith unto them, "Come and see." They came and saw where he dwelt, and abode with him that day, for it was about the 10th hour. They had a pretty good day with the Lord, speaking with the Lord. They enjoyed it a lot. They enjoyed it so much that they were going to go tell other people about it. That's a good thing to do. One of the two which heard John speak and followed him was Andrew, Simon Peter's brother. He first findeth his own brother, Simon, and saith unto him, "We have found the Messiah," which is to be interpreted, "the Christ." And he brought him to Jesus, and when Jesus beheld him, he said, "Thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation a stone. In this passage and in the verses following, you see a word, an expression used frequently, and that's the word "find" or "findeth." That's an interesting word. I looked it up. It has three different definitions. First definition is, you've lost something. You know it's there, but you don't know where it is. That's me at any given time of day. Where's my phone, my keys, my wallet? Couldn't find Leslie the other day. Well, lost an entire wife. I couldn't find her. Knew she was there, but I didn't know where. I had to go find her. That's one definition. Number two, you find something by accident. You find a $20 bill, which never happens. But it's possible. You find something there. You find it. You didn't know it was there. But you discovered it. Third definition is to take and apprehend by force. It's like the law says, we always find our man. You're on the run. You're a fugitive. You've committed a crime. You're wanted. They're coming after you. They're going to find you. They're on the investigation, and they will follow every lead, and they will find you. Now, you don't want to be found, but they will find you. That's the three definitions. And you see that in this whole experience that's given here in the first chapter of John. We read that they were following Jesus. They spent the day with him. One of them, Andrew, he finds his brother, Peter. He knew Peter was there, but he didn't know where, but he found him. And so he brought him to the Lord Jesus Christ. I'd say, in a sense, they found the Messiah. They didn't know he was there, but he was there. And by great providence, they found him and got the experience this time with him. The other one is coming up. Verse 43, I want to get into this lesson. The day following, Jesus would go forth into Galilee and findeth Philip and saith unto him, follow me. That's apprehension. He knew Philip was there. He knew where Philip was. Philip had no idea, had no premonition. But the Lord found him and apprehended him and let captivity captive. He did in Jacob. He found Jacob not in the front row, but he found him in a waste howling wilderness. He wasn't running to the Lord. He was running from his brother. Jacob found something, though, by providence. You know what he found? He found the house of God and the gate of heaven. He said, the Lord is here, but I knew it not. Well, the Lord knew you were there, Jacob. And the Lord found you. And you were apprehended, and you are now a member of the Lord's family. Guess what, my friends? God found you. You didn't find him. You weren't looking for him. You can put it on your bumper sticker all day. I found it. It found you first. You can say, I love him. Well, okay, he loves you first. Well, let's give God the credit then, shall we? We're just recipients of this wonderful blessing that we have in the church and in the gospel and in the fellowship that Brother Trevor talked about. But, my beloved, we have those things because he found us. He said, I'm going to seek and save them that was lost. John Leland said, I once was lost, but now I'm found. How are you found? By amazing grace. That's not a redundancy. They should always go together. Amazing grace. So the Lord finds Philip, and he says two things. Follow me. You know what Philip did? He did what we ought to do. Follow the Lord. He followed him. And then he kind of catches this bug that Andrew had. He said, wait a minute. This is so good, I need to let other people know about it. Amen. That's good. We ought to do that. We ought to tell, you know, I tell people, oh, I love that movie, and I bug them until they watch the movie. I ought to bug them about coming to church. I got books that I like. Man, you got to read it. I'll even buy a copy of it for you. I ought to say, like, now, come on. I'm taking you to church. I'm dragging you to church. You got to come to church because this is the joy of the whole earth. This is Mount Zion. This is ought to be the place that we desire to be at more than anywhere else. Amen. It is. It's the house of God. It is the gate of heaven. It is Bethel. That's where God found Jacob, and Jacob built an altar at that place, and he called it Bethel, the house of God. Amen. So that's a wonderful place. Wonderful place to be, the joy of the whole earth. I like one brother said, he said, I know telling people to come to church works, because for every 200 people I invite, one of them comes. How about that? Well, Philip is enjoying this wonderful day today. Follow me. So he says, I'm going to go tell my good friend Nathaniel about this. Philip findeth Nathanael. I know he's there. I gotta find him. See, we're not the Lord. The Lord knows everything about us. He knows our down sittings and uprisings. He knows everything about us. He knoweth all about me. We are not omniscient. So we got to work with what we got. All right? So I'm going to find... Philip's thinking, man, Nathanael's going to like this. I can't... Where is that? There he is! He finds him. He finds Nathanael. And he is going to give Nathanael an invitation deluxe. This is what he said. Verse 45. Philip findeth Nathanael and saith unto him, we have found him. Because he found you, amen. But we have found him. We didn't know who's there, but he's there. Guess what? He's there. We found him. We have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. That should have been enough for any good Jew to be inquisitive. This is the one that the lawgiver spoke of. This is the one the prophets spoke of. We know where he came from. We know whose son he is. We know his name. We found the Messiah. But Nathanael hears one word. He hears Nazareth. One thing, friends, one thing can stop a whole lot of fellowship. You know it? One grudge can stop a whole lot of fellowship. One thing. One memory you need to just let go of. Let it go. There's too much good to be found in the house of the Lord. Right. And in the fellowship with the Lord. Right. Nathanael seems like a logical person. I like that. I work with logic, Brother Ward and I. We're systems analysts, computer programmers. Logic is our best word. We love using that. We're so logical, Brother Ward, we're illogical. We're the only two people in the world that understand each other. But you know you can't use logic to be a primitive Baptist. You know it's very illogical to be a primitive Baptist. Right? I mean, I like to preach the gospel. You mean I could be preaching to thousands and thousands of people instead 20, 30, 40? And I know what you're thinking. In order to preach to the 3,000s, I've got to preach heresy. I've got to preach wrong. So the truth is more important than numbers. It's more important than popularity. We're not to seek the world's glory. There's a better glory to come that we look forward to. This world is fleeting. We're looking for our eternal home. Is it logical for me to get in the car and drive up here? We got a hurricane chasing us all the way. Now, I looked at that radar. That's a nasty looking storm. I even told Leslie, I said, there's a hurricane coming out of the desert, coming out after us. We started sprinkling on off and on. I said, we got to go 85, go 90. We got to get past this thing. Was that logical? Yes. Because this is the joy of the whole earth. It's worth whatever it takes to get to it. So don't use logic. Use the Spirit. Use wisdom. Think of the scriptures and think of the examples in these scriptures. But Nathanael says, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? It can't be right. Nazareth is a lousy town. It's a terrible place. It's like Cleveland, Ohio. I hope there's nobody born in Cleveland, Ohio in this congregation. I've just heard bad things about Cleveland. I've never been there. I've just heard bad things about it. Pittsburgh, Detroit. Any good thing? I don't know. Somebody was born in those towns. I guarantee you I could have picked any town and somebody's going to be born there. All right, maybe one good thing. But can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Well, he didn't know, but the best thing in the world came out of Nazareth. The best thing in the world. So he's thinking, if he's talking about the King of Kings, if he's talking about the Messiah, if he's talking about our Savior that's coming, Emmanuel, Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Prince of Peace, the Everlasting Father, that which Moses did speak of and the prophets did speak of. You're talking about him. He couldn't have come out of Nazareth. That's where logic will make you miss the boat every time. Now, what do we do when we are met with a stubbornness like this? What do we do? Do we debate? That's my first reaction. I love to debate. But we shouldn't do it. Okay? Argue? Nope. The Lord introduced three words that should be in our vocabulary. And those three words I've already read to you. Master, where do you dwell? Come and see. Come and see. You can't see unless you come. And if you do come, see. Witness it. Experience it. Ask questions about it. May the Lord continue to allow us to remain, that we keep coming and that we keep seeing. I want to see more than I did when I first believed. Come and see. Nathanael came. Next verse, Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, and saith unto him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Now, y'all, I've tried to study this text for 30 years. And there are three words that come to mind on my answer to what it means. I don't know. But I'm going to take a crack at it anyway, all right? See, y'all don't have to agree with this. This may be something we can talk about. Why did the Lord say this to Nathanael? The very first thing he said to Nathanael. Why did he say that? The Lord knew what he said the day before. Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Why would this be the first thing that he told Nathanael? Well, he's telling him this to get his attention. He's telling him this to stop him dead in his tracks. He's telling him this to get his mindset off himself. He's thrown a curve, may I say, to trip him in logic. And there probably is, I don't know, but there may be. I don't mind telling you what I don't know, because it's a lot. But there may be a very important spiritual application. And I'm going to tell you what it may be. There's a prophecy of the Messiah in Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 13. It reads, "The remnant of Israel shall not do iniquity, nor speak lies, neither shall a deceitful tongue be found in their mouth, for they shall feed and lie down, and none shall make them afraid." Well, I think this is a prophecy of the church. I think it's when we are in the Spirit of God, you know, it's the most honest you'll ever be in your life. You know, the purest you'll ever be is when you're touched by the Lord's Spirit and when you're in fellowship with Him. It's the closest to heaven you'll ever be in this world. Time stands still. Problems fade away. You feel joy and happiness. You rejoice with joy unspeakable. You desire nothing more than what you're doing right then. That becomes your future. That becomes everything that you want to do from henceforth. You're not going to be able to do it, but it's what you want. And you never, ever want that feeling to leave you. And it's wonderful when it happens, and I look for it every meeting I go to, that, "Lord, may you visit us and translate us into your spiritual kingdom." And I can I don't want to worry about anything, because when I'm in that kingdom, I have nothing to worry about. It's the safest place you could ever be. It may be that Nathanael was meditating on this. It may be that Nathanael had kind of a reputation as one who spoke honestly. It may be something else that I'm missing. Some of y'all may know something. Let me know. But I've been thinking about this for 30 years. One thing that I know, it got his attention. We know that it did. And whatever Nathanael had on his mind when he met this not good thing that came out of Nazareth, whatever thing he was going to meet him with, argument, debate, insult, or whatever, that was taken away, and he was stopped dead in his tracks by this statement by the Lord Jesus Christ. This tells me that the Lord knows exactly what to say at the exact right time, and he knows exactly how to get our attention. He said, "Live." You know what you did? You lived. You're still alive. You're never going to die because he said, "Live." You became his. You were apprehended. He found you. He found you. He said to that one in Ezekiel 16, he said, "Look where I found you. I found you in a field polluted in your own blood. But look what I did. I washed your blood. I spread my skirt over you. I decked you with ornaments. And I loved you. And thou becamest mine." You're mine. You're bought with a price. He paid for every one of us with his precious blood. That ought to take everything away from us. "Behold an Israelite, and he indeed it is whom no guile." You know what? Nathanael is about to find out something very important. You know what he's going to find out? "I've been discovered. I've been found. I didn't know I was lost." When you were found, you didn't know you were lost. But you are lost. Nathanael said unto him, verse 48, "Whence knowest thou me?" Yeah. Amen. Real good question. That's a good logical question. The answer is going to be extremely surprising. "Whence knowest me?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "Before that Philip called thee, when thou was under the fig tree, I saw thee." In other words, Nathanael was found before he found out that he was found. Don't ask me to say that again, but it made sense to me. Now, everybody wants to know what happened under the fig tree. Been studying that one for 30 years. I do not know. I'm not going to presume to tell you what it is. You know why? Don't have enough information. Oh, information could have been given. The Holy Spirit could have inspired John to write about Nathanael's experience under the fig tree. But guess what? Inspiration did not give him that liberty. That tells me this. I think it was something very personal between Nathanael and the Lord. That's what I think. It may have been a very spiritual experience. It may have been a time, as Brother Trevor preached to us about fellowship, that he felt so close in fellowship with the Lord that it was intense to him, that it was a landmark in his life. And we've all had that from time to time. I remember when I first heard the gospel. I'll never forget it. I wasn't looking for it. I think I was born again before, but I know when I was converted. And I'll never forget how wonderful that feeling was. And it was an amazing experience. And it was a fresh thing to me. And you know what? My life has been dedicated to keep going back to that and try to rediscover that new found zeal that I experienced. As the psalm says, where is the blessedness I knew when first I saw the Lord? Where is the soul-refreshing view of Jesus and His Word? I'll tell you where. It got encumbered by trouble, by prejudice, by grumpy people, by our grumpiness. It got encumbered by traffic and by bosses and by work and by paying bills and getting old and being too young and being too old or being too middle-aged, whatever. It's anything that life throws at us that encumbers us and that view that we see of Christ, even if in its purest form, is through a glass darkly. But yet, the world and the devil and our depravity wants to make it even more dark to the point where we don't even care to look at it anymore. I long to come back to those early days. And may this meeting be that for me. May it be that for you. May it be that we can find that again and be restored and walk in that newness that we did in those early wonderful days. Man, I tell you what. When I first believed the gospel, every minister preached good. I'm going to leave it at that. Okay. Every song service was the best I've ever heard. Every selection they made, it didn't bug me a bit. You know why? Because I was just glad to be at home. The Lord knows us better than we know ourselves. It was He that sent that great experience into us. He was there. He was the catalyst of it. And so He says, look, before Philip ever told you about me, I saw you. Notice, He didn't say, I knew you. He did. He foreknew us. But it gets even more intimate and personal. He said, I saw you. His eyes are always on the righteous. And then Nathanael found out he was found. And he says in verse 49, Rabbi, Thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Amen, you're right. He's all that. But listen to what Jesus said to him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the fig tree, believest thou? Thou shalt see greater things than these. But he's not finished. And he saith unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven opened, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. You know what that's a refer back to? When God found Jacob in a waste howling wilderness. And when Jacob found Bethel and the gate of heaven. It's where Jacob built that altar. Because what did Jacob see? He saw a ladder. And angels ascending and descending. If that's not a picture of Jesus Christ, I don't know what is. It's a picture of his mediatorship. It's a picture of his love from heaven down to earth and back up into heaven again. It's a picture that he hears our cries. He hears our prayers. It's a picture that he is the daysman that Job looked for. He's our mediator. He's also the captain of our salvation. He is the intercessor between God and man. He is all man and all God. He is one who understands us better than anybody ever. He is the one who did exactly what was needed to save us. That's the greatest thing you'll ever see. And when you see that, you have seen heaven opened. And you are found in him. Yeah. You found a pretty good place to be. And you're going to find out that, as Brother Trevor spoke to us, that this world is not our home. That there is a place, heaven opened, beyond the opening of heaven. Jacob said, I found the house of God. It's the gate. We're going to get to go past the gate. We're going to press. We press into his kingdom here in life. But we're going to press into that heavenly kingdom in glory. Oh, I wonder what we'll see up there. Indescribable. Things you can't even repeat the words that we hear. Paul said, I can't do it. There's human language would fail to capture the majesty and the holiness and the divinity that I witnessed when the Apostle Paul went up there in the third heaven. He said, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body. It doesn't matter. Because I was there. And I saw it. Now, my friends, life can be looked upon in many different ways. But when you're a member of the church, and when you're a practicing member of the church, and when you study your Bible on a regular basis, and when you come and you hear the preaching, and you pray for the church, and you pray for your pastor, and you pray for the ministers, and you pray that the Lord would raise up young brethren like Brother Trevor, Brother Seth, and these fellows that are coming up. Brother McNeil over here, he's already ordained, so he's fine. He's okay. We got it. But these other young brethren coming up. You know, that's one thing that the Lord said we need to pray for. We ought to pray for that. And when we don't have them, you know what that says? We're not praying for it. And so we pray for that. And we pray for them. And we pray for ourselves. And here's the thing. When I first heard the gospel, which was in the Nazareth of Texas. When I first heard it, it was in Corsicana, Texas. Okay, all right? Everybody ought to agree with that one. I can say that my family came from there. And in the worst place, in Corsicana vicinity, Primitive Baptists decided we're going to have a meeting right here in the absolute worst place you can hold a Primitive Baptist meeting, which is why Primitive Baptists, especially in Texas, have their meetings in July and August, because that's the hottest months of the year. You say, no, it's when kids get out of school. No, it's because it was the hottest months of the year. They're punishing us for being Primitive Baptists. We have to do that from time to time to keep us honest. And so at this terrible, awful, horrible place, 100 degrees and 100% humidity, I heard the gospel. And I fell in love with the King of Kings. And that was a wonderful moment. You know what? I have seen greater things than that. I have heard greater sermons. They were greater to me. I have understood more since then. I have participated in a way that I never thought that I would ever could or would, and God has been merciful. And it started that day, and that henceforth, I like that word. It's one of my favorite words. It means from this day forward, from now on, you will see heaven open. Now, you don't have to wait to get to heaven to be ecstatically happy. Okie dokie. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to feel real spiritual. Pray for it. Seek after it. Follow after it. And the Lord will find you. And you will find Him. And when that happens, congratulations, not congratulations. Bad choice. Wonderful news. You've just found the greatest place on earth. God bless you. Thank you.